This is the Next Bite of Life podcast, the place to be to hear personal stories from expats, digital nomads, and everybody else taking their next bite of life. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Next Bite of Life podcast. My name is Kem. Today, I've got Maria Belton with me. And even though she's in Valencia, she's in another studio, but we're trying this out for the first time. So hello, Maria, how are you?
Hi, Kem, I'm doing great.
It's so nice to have you on the show. I mean, it's been so long since I wanted you to come on and I talked to you about it, but we're finally making it happen.
So much going on in the city. It's kind of hard. I'm getting stuff done.
It's true. So tell me, Maria, you are an expat in Valencia here. How long have you been in Valencia?
Valencia, 2 years, about 2.5 years, 2 years and a few months. I came September 2018 to Valencia.
And before that, you were in?
Madrid.
Two fabulous cities, right? Now, before we start talking about Valencia, let's talk about where you're from in the U.S.
Originally, I grew up in Ohio. So originally, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, Midwest. Yeah, before moving to Spain, I was in Miami for about 35 years. Yeah.
That's
pretty much where I spent my adult life.
Yeah. So how was life there?
Miami, I guess for everybody, it's like the vacation tropic space. Yes. For me, it was just home. It is great having the beach nearby, blue skies, mild winters. You know, it's just like spring, summer, year round. Oh. Yes. But there are the drawbacks. It's a driving city.
Yes.
So unlike many of the Midwest, you can't just go walking. I mean, you can, but everything is far away. So pretty much you need a car to get around. But you know, it worked for me. You know, I was based out of Miami, so it was convenient.
So when you say you were based out of Miami, what were you doing?
I was a flight attendant, American Airlines.
Now, so you raised a family and you did all that stuff in Miami. That was where, you know, the bulk of life was.
That was the bulk of the life, yeah. My son was born there, you know, it was, got together and split up there. It was like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think anybody's left there because all my family's in Ohio, my son's in California. My ex is still,
So you're just like, okay. So was that what prompted you to start thinking about living life outside of the country? Or how did Spain enter into the equation, really?
Spain was never in the equation.
It was never there.
My ex and I used to talk about moving to France. I always wanted to move to France. And when we split up and I was working international flights, you know, the catalyst was my best friend died. And it was kind of like, you know what, either put up or shut up.
Yeah.
And I had been studying Spanish, French, Portuguese. I didn't speak anything, but I figured I know the most words in Spanish. So I'm gonna start with Spanish. And in my little mind, I'm thinking, I'll learn Spanish and then I'll learn French and I'll move to France. Like, it's so easy.
Now, it's so funny that you mentioned that your friend died. It seems to be something very common with a lot of people where, you know, there's always this catastrophic event that leads them to examining what life is all about. And it's a common story that I hear over and over again. And it's kind of sad that it takes something like that to, like, you know, get you moving. So how long did you start thinking about it to actually start doing something about it?
Like I said, my ex and I had thought about going to France, and we had looked at that back and forth, and we'd also looked at Canada. So leaving the U.S. was always kind of at the top of the list.
Yeah.
So let's see. He died in the end of October, and I think I left the about a year after that.
Now
I had hip surgery, and then I finished that up and decided it's time to learn a language. You know, that whole thing of you're moving into that next phase.
Exactly.
And, you know, all these things, these ideas that have been floating around like you got forever to do
them. It's like, do it, put up or shut up, right?
The clock is ticking.
Yes, it's true. The clock really is ticking. Now, I know that when we first met, the first thing when you told me that you were commuting from Madrid to Miami, please tell us about that, because people keep saying, I can't do it. It just goes to show that if there's a will, there's a way. So tell us how you were doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was still working up until April. I was still working. I just retired. So Madrid, it was easier because I would just go to the subway, get the subway to the airport, and then I'd fly to Miami. And then the next day I would start my trips. But I kept my place in Miami. I had a duplex and a studio there. So I lived in the studio, so everything was there. It's not like I had to carry a lot of stuff back and forth and store things. So, I mean, it was, I think about it now and I say, what in the world were you doing? At the time, though, you know, you just adjust to what you need to adjust to. I had to work and I, you know, in my mind, I wasn't gonna retire anytime soon. And it was pretty easy. I went back once a month. I would fly for a couple of weeks and then I'd come back.
Wow. So how was that? Like, you know, how was the reconciling the time difference between like Miami and Madrid? Did you like zonk out for the first week after you got back? Or was it like, oh, your body could adjust?
I would be kind of spacey when I came back. I'd come back and it would be kind of like just the fatigue would catch. Going there, it didn't bother me as much because I'd immediately start flying. You know, I'd get in, sleep that night, and then I'd start my trips, and I was constantly on the go. And I was changing time zones there anyway. When I'd get back here, it would start catching up with me, and it was really hard to adjust to being here. Yeah. The other part of that was I didn't really live anywhere.
Yeah.
Getting involved in life in Spain was hard because every time I'd sign up for a class or I'd sign up for something, 2 weeks later, I was gone.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's hard meeting people. It's hard building a life.
Yeah.
And because I was here, I wasn't really there either. So when there, I never saw them. When I went there, I was working. So I kind of, it kind of felt like I wasn't really living anywhere. And yet, with all that, I was willing to keep doing it for another 4 or 5 years. In my mind, I thought, it's not that big of a deal. I just, COVID forced me into retirement, to make that decision. And now that I've made it, like I said, I think, what in the world were you thinking? Life is just, it's so different when you just, I love being here in Spain, and now I live here. I really live here. And it's a whole different existence.
Now, those years that you were in Madrid, I mean, why did you choose Madrid and not Barcelona, for instance? Why was it?
Okay, the only reason I ended up in Spain, I decided I'm going to learn a language. And I decided I'd start with Spanish because I knew the most in Spanish. Yes. So I did an immersion class in Madrid. Mm-hmm. So I was in Madrid for a week, and then we went to a small town and did the immersion class. And then I came back, spent a few days in Madrid. And I started, and I'd never been to Madrid really.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, this is a pretty nice place. Uh-huh. Well, while I was in the immersion program, and I was thinking, I'm really gonna start working on my Spanish. I think I'm gonna come a lot more often. One of the volunteers was looking for a roommate. Uh-huh. So she was in Madrid and she wanted to move to a bigger place. So she said, you wanna share an apartment? I gave it absolutely no thought. There was no planning. So Annabella and I finished up, I did that immersion, and then I did a bike trip in northern Spain, and then I went back to Miami. And Annabelle, who ended up being my roommate, we communicated by email, you know, deciding this is what we need in an apartment, whatever. I flew back in July. She had set up some apartments to look at. We went to look at them while I was here. We found one, picked it, signed the lease. Wow. I went back to Miami, and then I moved back in September. So it, you know, I don't really recommend it to other people.
You think a little more research would have been better?
Yeah. I mean, it worked out. I was lucky. It was a wonderful roommate. We had an apartment in a great look in the beginning. I thought it was a great location, Lava Pies, hip chic neighborhood, bohemian, you know, in the beginning, 2 a.m. in the morning, I'm taking pictures. Oh my God. 3 months later, I'm at the window shouting, shut up.
Exactly. It's like, be careful what you wish for. I know. I always tell people whenever they're thinking about moving, I go, don't discount the noise factor. I mean, like, don't, because you're excited. You're like, I want to be where it's happening, where it's here. And it's like, you'll be sorry. You know, I always talk about my friend that ended up sleeping in the closet when fires came around, because it was the only room that faced the back of the street, because the bedrooms were up front and she couldn't handle it. I mean, there was a club close by. It's a really big thing in Spain. They love partying.
Vacation. It's very different when you decide this is where I'm going to live, and day in, day out. You're right. The things that you thought were so cool in the beginning.
Yes.
Vacation, right? After a while, they wear skin.
You worked, you know, for years doing this back and forth to Miami and Madrid, and then. What, you know, when you started thinking about retire, was it when you started thinking about Valencia, or how did Valencia now come into the picture?
Valencia came in because my roommate in Madrid, Annabelle, was originally, she's from Valencia.
Ah, okay. And
she transferred to Madrid with her company.
Gotcha.
So I had decided that I wanted my own place, you know, it's like, I'm 60, I'm over the roommate thing.
Yeah.
You're a nice person, we're friends, but I want a place. But in Madrid, I couldn't afford it. For what my budget was, there wasn't much that I was willing to live in. Mm-hmm. And then she suggested that I look at Valencia. She said, the weather's nicer, it's on the coast, it's less expensive. So I came down in April of 2018 for 4 days. Mm-hmm. By the second day, I was in love and I decided, this is it, I'm moving to Valencia.
How many times have I heard that from people who have moved to Valencia? You know, it's like you talk to them and people think I'm kidding when I say that. But like you come and you just, there's just something about it that just gives you like peace. And you're just like, there's just something about it. And I don't know what it is, really. I can't put my finger on it, but it seems to be the same for a whole lot of people.
And it's like this thing that happens within a couple of days. I'm there one day, I'm 2 days, and this is it. This is where I'm moving.
I've even heard that from people who had never visited, who end up moving and they're like, this is it. And it's like over and over again, at least I would say out of the 30 interviews I've done in the last 6 months, 5 or so have been with people who live in Valencia, and 4, I think, of them had never been to Valencia before moving here, and they said they wouldn't live anywhere else. And it just says a lot about the city. I mean, and it's so close. You can still go to Madrid for you. We go for weekends to Madrid, or you can go to Barcelona on the train because the train system is so good all around Spain. Now, you said something about that the living expenses in Madrid was a little high. How would you compare like the cost of living for, like you're single now. How much does it cost you if you had to guesstimate a month on how much you spend a month versus how much you were spending in Madrid?
I would say about half. Food is kind of the same.
Yeah, exactly.
When I moved here, let's say when I was in Madrid in Lava Pies, and we had a really good deal. In fact, the landlord told us, you know, I could rent this for a lot more. But we were fortunate. She rented to us for $825, and it was just a small place, two bedrooms. It really wasn't even a living room, a tiny little kitchen. So, you know, you were in the bathroom. That was it. But it had lots of light. It was in Lava Pies. It was great.
It was great.
That was $825. So I was paying. Now it was $850. I was paying $425 to share an apartment. When I moved to Valencia, I got my own apartment for $500. That was a 3-bedroom, 1-bath.
Imagine. I mean,
it's the difference is really striking. I mean, it's noticeable when you, Madrid, there are things in Madrid that I miss. Yeah. No doubt about it. The theater, the city. But I realize I don't want to live in it.
Yeah.
I love living in Venice. I mean, when I go out on the beach and I'm walking in the morning, when I'm in the park, there's so many times I'll be with friends and we'll just stop and say, how lucky are we?
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. And it's like, it's something that's really hard to like express and have people understand what you feel. But, you know, every day I'm like, wow, even if on the days that I don't do anything, just looking out, I don't know. It just gives me, at least, it gives me a sense of like peace and calmness, and especially a sense of home, you know, and with everything that's happening everywhere else. And it's just nice to have this little thing. So you said, you know, you miss the theater there's a little bit of theater here. Of course you can't hear, understand what they say because it's like rapid fire Spanish, right? Or Valencian, a lot of times. Right. So there are some things you have to stick with, like music, exactly. You got to stick with music stuff, you know, and that's universal, no matter what language they're speaking. Now, I know you did something crazy when you first moved here, like, because, I mean, we, when we moved here, we were like, okay, we'll rent, and then we rented again, and it was like the third year before we wanted to make really sure that we wanted to stay here before we bought something. But you, just like you decided to move to Madrid,
and I want to put that out here. Plan, do your research. I mean, I have been very lucky in that I've hopped into things and they've just worked out. So when I came in April and then decided I was moving, I went back to Madrid, and you know, the expat Facebook pages.
Yes.
I posted on there saying, I'm going to be moving to Valencia in September. And this is my budget, I think I said 550. If you know of anything, let me know. And there was a woman on there who texted me back and said, I'm going to be moving out of my place. It's a great apartment. I think she said it was 600. It was 550 or 600, and it was in Carmen. And I already knew that. Carmen,
What? Okay. Now, for anybody listening to this, Carmen is like the neighborhood. I mean, it is the touristy, the expat, and it's impossible. I can't believe you found an apartment for that much in Carmen. Okay. So there are like drug deals going on.
You know, I was living in Lavapiés in Madrid, and I decided I do not want to be in the center. I don't mind walking to the center. I want to be near it, but I do not want to be in it anymore.
Very
and
good
I
decision.
Knew that Carmen was in the center. So I went to see her apartment, really nice apartment. And I thought, but then I spent the time and just looked at other places. But the thing of it was, when I went to see her apartment, Vilma, her name is Vilma, we ended up just keeping in touch. So I didn't rent her place. I ended up renting something else. And then I left, went back to work, came back. And when I came back, we got together. And then she was having a birthday party and she invited me. And so we kind of started keeping in touch. And she had moved here from Italy and she wanted to buy another place. She was moving out of that apartment because she had bought a place for herself.
Okay.
She wanted to find something else as sort of a rental income place. And I love looking at properties. Mm-hmm. So I said, you don't mind. I would love to go look with you. I mean, I had nothing in mind. I wasn't buying anything.
Yeah.
I didn't have the money to buy anything. So I went looking with her. I went a few times. We looked at places. And we went and looked at one place, and I said, you know what? If I had the money and you weren't going to buy this place, I would buy it. And she said, you want to buy it together? And just like renting the apartment in Madrid, without a thought, I said,
sure, of course. Why not? Sure. You know, live by the seat of your pants. You know, I mean, well, this tells me two things. One, that, you know, you're impulsive, which is good because I'm like that. And two, that the housing prices are not outrageous. I mean, like, you know, you can make the decision of who you want, but if your pocketbook is saying he better shush, you know, then you can't do it. Exactly. So
The possibilities here, yeah, you can find that easily, $200,000 apartment or 200,000 euro apartment. But we bought a Bajo, the ground floor, like storefront, to convert it into vacation rental apartments. And we split it into two apartments, with the idea that in the end, we would redo the deed so that they were listed as separate properties. And because she has a daughter and I have a son, and we figured that just makes it easier. It's clear, nobody has to deal with a lot of paperwork.
Now,
the problem was the experience of getting from that empty storefront, which had been empty for about 15, 20 years, to living units. The mistake was the contractor, and it was referred by a friend of hers, and ended up being a nightmare experience. So much so that we got the license and everything, got everything finished just in January of this year. And the process, we bought it in November of 2018.
Started, so it was a really long process.
We got the permit and everything to start construction in May of 2019. And then January of this year, we got the license, closed the permit, everything. And then I decided I'm selling my part. So we were going through the process of separating it. I sold my part in July. But she has kept hers and has kept it full since I think she's got her first tenant in March, and she's been able to keep someone in through short rentals. And so she's doing fine with it. It worked out great for her.
Because sometimes you don't know what you're signing up for, and the rules keep changing, and it looks like they're probably going to change again. And you know, it's just sometimes it's not worth what you think it's going to be worth, or when everything else is said and done, it may not be a good idea after all. Now, are you willing to disclose to us how much you guys paid for the place?
Sure. I mean, I would have kept it if the experience hadn't been such a nightmare. I would, because at that point, by the time it was done, I just wasn't comfortable with the work that he had done. And I just said, they all be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't feel good about it. So we bought the place for $70,000, $35,000 each. Mm-hmm. And then I spent probably another $30,000 between permits and the plans and the architectural plans and the construction and material, everything, getting it all set up. And then I sold it for $85,000.
So all in, you paid, you know, $70,000 for this place, right?
I'd say closer by the time you deal with time and money exchanges. I mean, by the time I figured everything in, I figured I probably made enough to cover the taxes that I'll have to pay
on
with
it.
The capital gains. So yeah. I broke
it. Yeah.
And for me, that's fine.
And for
peace of mind to be out of it.
Exactly. For anyone listening, like, you know, I saw the street where they bought this place, and it's like maybe 2 minutes walk to like Rusafa, which is like the hip center of town, you know, and like 10, 15 minutes walk to downtown. So it's in a really nice area, and it's a working class. And it's like, you know, it's very, I live, you know, just down the street from there, not too far. So it's good, solid pricing.
It's a surprise. I mean, like I said, Vilma has kept hers occupied.
Yeah.
And she's doing great. I just didn't have that kind of confidence, nor did I, and I realized I really didn't want to put in the effort, but for me, it was more the confidence in and the work.
Yeah.
Gone in place. It was such a terrible experience.
Now that you're in Valencia, you know, when you think about like, okay, I know you've said this is it, this is where you were going to stay and, you know, and all that, but I want to find out like, how hard was it to now get your paperwork and everything else settled after you retire? Was it really hard to like change over from working and then moving? You had to apply, right, for a long stay visa?
Well, I did that because I didn't do any research when I came here. I just assumed, my understanding was that a tourist visa started over, and I think originally that's the way it was. Whenever you left, it's kind of
yes, like exactly, start. Yeah, it was.
And so I figured, well, I'm going to be going back to work anyway, so I don't need a visa. I've got the tourist visa.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I think it was about December of that first year that I was talking to a friend, and she said, "I don't think that's the case anymore."
It's not. It wasn't that. It wasn't. It was that. But.
And we go online together and we're looking it up and I realized, holy crap.
Yes.
And I think when I left, my visa was good for like one or two days more.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back to the States to work and I ended up staying longer because by then I had decided I'm staying. I'm staying in Spain. I've made a decision.
Yeah.
So then it was, and now I have to find something that allows me to stay.
To stay long term.
And, right. And I already had a job, so I didn't want to work visa.
Yeah. So good. You know, that's one thing. Like, my expat in Spain course, my new expat in Spain course, it's like helping people through that whole process of like, getting the visa, which kinds they can qualify for, and you know, coming into Spain the way, because you could do it by the seat of your pants and be lucky like you were, but some people that haven't been lucky, they've gotten like, you know, you can't be in Europe for years, you know, so it's a big fine if you can't. So it's always advisable to do it the right way, and people are like, oh yeah, you know, but I could get all this information for free. Hey, you can get it information for free, but sometimes you get what you pay for.
I didn't know there was a course. See, I mean, and this is the thing. I keep finding out bits and pieces of information as I talk to, and just random, I'll be somewhere and someone else is talking. I was on the beach with a couple of friends and someone, I just met her. She's mentioned, I had my hip done through the National Insurance and that was her insurance. And I turned and said, wait, what?
Yes, exactly.
How you could use national insurance for the required insurance for the visa, and that's how I found out.
Yeah,
but it comes in bits and pieces.
And pieces, yes, it's true. So this is hopefully cohesive enough for somebody to understand and do it. But life in Valencia for you now, you've been here almost 2 years in Valencia, right?
Yeah, just a little over 2 years.
Over 2 years. So now that you're retired, how are you finding retirement life?
I love it.
Yeah, because sometimes I see you going, I'm cycling to the beach and I will be having lunch at, you know, this restaurant, you know. I'm just like, look at her go, you know, like the social butterfly.
You know, you're busy doing things, you know, like I bought a house, I bought an apartment that I live in.
And I can't wait to visit it, by the way.
Sorry?
I said, and I can't wait to visit it, by the way.
Well, it's supposed to be finished the end of November.
Okay.
So right now I'm staying at a different, staying on the beach.
Yeah.
But my place will be finished the end of November.
That's so cool.
So, you know,
I was just going to say, life as a retiree has been treating you well. How's your Spanish coming?
Spanish is getting better.
Yeah.
It's definitely better. The thing of it was when I was in Madrid, okay, Annabelle spoke Spanish. So I got to the point where it would be like, I would just go to zone out whenever anybody was saying anything. Yeah. And then I just ask her, okay, so what do we need to do?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because you were crutching, you know.
I could. When I moved to Valencia, however, I was on my own.
Yeah.
And so what I did, I kind of changed the way I realized how I'm going to learn the language. So I decided, okay, my goal that first year was to really focus on being able to hear better, and that I was just going to tune in to what people were saying, and that if I got to the end of the year and I could honestly say I am hearing much better what is and understanding, then I was good with that. That was a good improvement. Yeah. And so by the end of that first year, yeah, I noticed my listening skills were much better. I had to, it's exhausting learning a language. Yes. And you have to focus on what people are saying. It's just sometimes, it's like, I don't want to think. I just want to hear the noise and understand it.
Yeah.
You know? But it's tiring. But I didn't have anybody to fall back on.
Yes.
So I had to really pay attention. And I found that if I lost my concentration it doesn't take but a split second.
Of course.
Lost the conversation.
Yeah. Because, one letter can make a difference in what they're saying. So,
Right. And then it's like I've lost it, and suddenly it's like the kid in the back of the classroom.
I know. And now it's really like, we started back up at our Spanish classes that we have to wear the mask, right? And so I'm really like, I hear it, and I also like to look at them so I can see what they say and how they pronounce it. And it's so hard now because I'm like, what? Because you can't see their mouth move. So when I go to restaurants, I'm like starting all over again. I'm like, because I can't hear you. And so it's just weird. But it's fun anyway.
It's forcing us to like really listen even harder. But you're right, because so much of it is, it's hearing it, but it's also looking at the lips and saying, what are all of the expressions that go along with talking.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but it's been fun.
I didn't get into the Spanish school this year, though.
Yeah. I think it keeps your little gray cells stimulated, so we can't complain too much about it. I think it's fun trying to learn a new one. So let me ask you, what would be, if you had to advise somebody, give me 1 second. My dog came into the room and so be whining forever, what would be your advice for someone, for instance, who was like, I am looking to do what Maria is doing. I want to move somewhere and, move to Spain and do the same thing, retire there. Even you did it, with the commute, and you did it for a lot of years. So it's not like somebody else can't do it. What would be your advice to somebody else looking to do the same thing?
I would say first, and my son told me this when we were talking about the whole process, and he said, boy, he said, it sounds like it doesn't take as much as you think it will take. In our minds, I think the majority of us think that living abroad is something rich people do.
Yep.
And we're ordinary folk.
Yep.
And the one thing I realized, it doesn't take as much as you think it's going to take. I never even made $50,000 in a year in my life. So that's the kind of income I had. All the years I worked, it was anywhere from 10,000 a year to maybe 48,000 tops. And with that, I'm able to live here.
Yeah.
And so first I'd say, realize that it is not impossible. It really is not. It is not beyond your reach. And second, it is much more affordable here on my retirement income. I can live more comfortably here than I could in the States. And my retirement income is somewhere about $2,200, which is not, and with that covers more than I need to live here. So I think first I'd say recognize that the dream isn't impossible. Yeah. Second, I would suggest that you come and you get rent an apartment like you guys did for 2 or 3 years. And move around the city, live in one neighborhood for a year,
different cities, another
neighborhood, even do Airbnbs, whatever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a year. Spend a month or two here and a month or two there and get a feel for the different areas of the city to get a sense of to get your list together, because that's what you want. You want the list of what do I have to have in that apartment, whether you're buying it or renting it, in order for me to be totally happy. What do I have to have?
You know, and I think a lot of people
zipping around, shifting around the city.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great point that you say, because a lot of people really are under the impression. I mean, it's true. You hear Europe and you're like, Europe. I mean, you might as well say Mars, because you don't think. I mean, you're like, me live in France, me live in Spain, me live in Italy. I mean, it sounds undoable. And then you start doing your research. Like, I see cost of living, like sometimes, you know, because I like knowing how much everybody's paying somewhere else. And you look at cost of living, like somebody's in, like, I'm only paying, you know, 2,000 a month in Thailand. And I'm thinking, oh, phooey, that is super expensive. That's just like, yeah, I'm like, that is, for one person, that's a lot of money, you know, I think, you know, because when we do ours, we're living like, and we go out to eat, we cook a lot, we do all those things. And we're like, you know, we spend like maybe $1,200 a month or something, you know? And so.
Right, and that's the two of you. And mine is less than half that. I mean, granted, I bought my place. So my house, I spent $80,000 on it. And I've chosen to gut it and redo it for things that I want done too.
Exactly.
And like, with my income, I can afford to do that. So I don't have the monthly rent. But given all of that, I bought the place. I could cover my annual health insurance, my homeowner's insurance. For a time, I had a mortgage because I took out a partial mortgage to pay it, and then I paid that off. I could the mortgage, my condo fees, and my annual property taxes. 600 euros a month would have taken care of all of that for me.
And you know, your place
every day, but 600 euros, what is that, $700?
Exactly. And you know, at your place, it's like 10, it's like 15 minutes walk to downtown. It's not even that far.
Right.
It's like the city is set up in a way that no matter where you are, it's like a circle, and the center is in the middle, and everybody kind of comes from all sides. But it's just, you know, it's really doable, and people think it's not. And then you find out that you've been tricked all this time. Like you're listening, or you're not watching, or you're not listening to the right people, or what have you. It's almost like they want to keep you there. They want to keep you on that hamster wheel of, like, you know, paying everything and doing
it. Because the people we see doing it all, maybe they don't. Maybe it was just an impression that I had. If they're doing that, they got to have loads of money.
Exactly.
When you get out there and you realize it really doesn't take that. But the other point, I was thinking about it this morning when I was walking on the beach, about when you go somewhere, is you have to take the time to know yourself. That was my phone. Take the time to know yourself and be honest about your fears, your insecurities, your demons, because it's no panacea. No matter where you go, you're going to be there, and you're going to take it with you. And you'll have much greater success if you go there understanding the things about yourself that you need to work on, so that you don't get there thinking it's magical and suddenly everything's going to be all wonderful. And then 6 months down the line, you find yourself falling into depression and all, you know, it's like, well, the things that are there, no matter where you are, they're still there.
They're still going to be there.
You have a much greater chance at success if you understand it. And it's not like your demons are going to go away, but if you acknowledge them and understand what they are and begin working on them, it gives you a better chance of success no matter where you go. And
very
I think that becomes really important, because when you go, you want it to be a success.
Yes, you do. But you know, you don't
want
to become
go there, right? And then all of a sudden feel like, I got to go back. I can't do this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Very good advice. Thank you very much. And on that note, we will leave it at that. And thank you so much, Maria, again, for joining me today. I mean, I know it was a long time coming and I'm finally able to sit down and talk to you. And I just love the fact that you know, your story tells everybody that it's doable, whether or not you don't have, you know, if you have the right, there are just ways to do things and you can make it happen if you have that desire. So thank you for sharing that story. And it's been great. So thank you. In the meantime, please subscribe to the show if you're listening to the podcast right now on iTunes, Stitcher, and any of the other listening platforms that you're using. So once again, thank you, and we will see you later. Bye.